Do you want to know how to make an incredible impact in every learner at your school and in the classroom? What if I told you that the method is something that's a small tweak to what's right in front of us this whole time? This week's episode, we're going to get into a possible means to shift the direction of how teaching and learning is defined at your site, and here's why. I received a request from two leaders that I highly respect, and both of them are living saints. We got talking about intervention type strategies, and I recalled a conversation I had with some leaders in Canada, and I didn't share it with them, and so I'm going to share it with all of you right now. Team, my name is Joe Clossy, and I'm stoked to be the host of the Traveling Principal podcast, a show designed to give you the same feeling you get when cashing in your points and miles so you get a little extra leg room on that flight. Today's show is one based on experiences I've been seeing in schools over the last few years with a mass increase in special education populations. And at every level, and also, how to turn this into something of a revolution with how we teach and therefore try to reach every student. So, without further ado, let's dive right in. So, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the episode is Special Education is Education. And what that suggests is, what if all education to all students was done in a similar way that special education does it? Considering we're spending massive time, attention, and resources on differentiation, varying instruction, providing scaffolded and inclusive environments to reach every learner, why wouldn't we take what works most out of the IEP process and replicate it for all students? What if I told you that our neighbors to the north don't have special education? It's just education up there. What if I told you that every student learns in their own unique way, and those that don't have the abilities to conform to the one way of traditional delivery of instruction and on that pace that everyone fictitiously is supposed to be on, they're not labeled and needed to be considered special? Not at all. It's just called learning. Let's start looking at it from this lens. The National School Board Association reported that when the IDEA was reauthorized back in 2004, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which enables significant shifts to keep in compliance with the law, right? So, we had to add all these additional supports that were currently not being in place or being offered. But the IDEA was reauthorized back in 2004, and the federal government fell short of the 40% in excess cost that it takes to fund these additional supports. And this was 20 years ago. In summary, for 20 years, we've been trying to do what's right by all the students without being given the resources to do right by all students. For leaders specifically here, every student that has an IEP where a team determines an additional support service that are needed, that means that much more funding it will cost to legally meet their needs. Why? Well, you need an IA, an instructional assistant. You may need a one-on-one. You may need a behavior intervention specialist. You may need a psychologist. You may need a counselor. You may need a social worker. You may need a speech and language provider, an occupational therapist, a crisis intervention specialist, or an additional certified teacher, all for one student. I should say, and or all for one. These support providers also have caseloads of students and are also used when the IEP team that includes a comprehensive assessment conducts and discusses with all stakeholders in that child's life that these needs are necessary. Some students only have one teacher all day in a class with 30 others who have that same situation. The financial obligation is obviously way more demanding for that first example, right? You're talking about paying 4 to 10 people versus only paying one. However, this breeds the general assumption that the kids in the class with only one teacher really only need that one teacher and all the way up until they graduate as well. Their grades may struggle. They may not be successful in that system at all. But that's because they didn't study or didn't listen or were too focused on whatever else. It wasn't that they needed additional support and didn't get it. It also wasn't because we didn't provide them with avenues for that student to learn how they learn so they know how to find successes with almost anything. Here's what I mean. Out of the 30 students, let's say 5 don't pass. Okay? In that same class with that one teacher, 5 don't pass. Those 5 may have excessive absences, bad behavior issues, or quote unquote, may be going through something else. And for these reasons, regardless to our outreach and our standard contractual efforts, we just can't reach them. Another 5 are on the fence, but squeeze through. Another 5 are in a C- range. The rest are B's or better. Okay, so 5 don't pass, 5 are on the fence, and 5 aren't doing that well, but enough to pass and kind of be in the C- range. So 15, C- or worse. The rest are B's or better. I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not blaming anyone. But what I'm saying is, in response, we figure out how to reach more students to increase our successes moving forward, because our data shows a good portion of the class are at or below the passing range. Right? If you got 5, 10, 15, was it 15? Half? So that's what our data is showing. We seek professional development then on varying instructional strategies, differentiating our delivery of instruction, offering different forms of assessment and student choices, adding accommodations and modifications such as more time, separate locations, and the use of a calculator and graphic organizers. And we even team up with other staff members to change the way students receive information. All of this takes time, effort, money, more money. And before teachers are equipped with all the tools to provide said needs to all learners, that kid is gone and on to the next grade. What if you started with differentiation and taught in all ways? What if teachers utilized a routine, worked on executive functions at an early age, and rooted this into the start of each year? What if each of your learners knew how they learn best by fifth grade? This is in an IEP team, you know, they would figure this out at an early age. Let's say continue with services and creating a least restrictive environment for the student as the years had passed. But it was also a recipe for success for this child. Each year they found successes. Think of it as the same situation that would go with these students year after year. Right now they knew how they learned best and it stayed with them. Special educators are professionals at teaching students how to learn. Teachers are now being defined as professionals at teaching students their content. However, this is what a college professor is, right? Not 6 through 12. At a high school and at a middle school and an elementary education, teachers should be professionals at teaching learning, and content presents a means for practice. With an RTI type approach, which stands for responses to intervention, there are 3 tiers, right? The first is a universal tier where every teacher offers routines and interventions that are applied to all students. The data and the information collected during Tier 1 implementation fosters grounds for proactive measures. If you need a Tier 2, right, if it should be needed, it's more of a targeted approach. It includes small group monitoring, progress tracking, and some additional supports. In cases with students where Tier 1 and Tier 2 have not been completely successful, Tier 3 is implemented, where it's the most intensive interventions are observed, and where collaborative efforts with specialists and individualized instruction is needed. This is different from what is evident in most schools today, where we don't employ any strategies but the usual standard and traditional ones, and when that doesn't work, we raise a red flag in the U.S. and throw tons of staffing and assessment at the students to react to an assumed learning or emotional discrepancy. When a guardian or a parent requests an evaluation for their child, you guys, the school has 15 days to respond, I'm sorry. When a parent agrees to the plan, a school has 60 days to put those services in place from there. What this doesn't factor in is the 2 weeks of time it takes to hold or create and hold a meeting, the absences of the students or the staff for the initial evaluation, and when it's all said and done, the school can take up to 3 months to offer what could be available on day one should an RTI or all ed is sped mindset be implemented. How about this one? Schools in Hungary, Slovakia, Turkey, Italy, Slovenia, all partnering with UNICEF on this movement to clarify that teachers are to teach learning and use their content as the grounds for measurement, not the other way around. And we just assume students should, like, learn. Think about that for a second. Here's more specifically what I'm suggesting as your way of maybe implementing some of this change. Every semester, every school year, heck, every dang quarter, if you think it's that necessary, we could focus on executive functions of learning. These are routine, organization, transitioning and adapting, comprehension, note-taking, actively listening, the ability to focus, how to regulate emotions, and how to monitor yourself on tasks towards completion. Think of these again. Routine, organization, transitioning and adapting, comprehension, note-taking, active listening, the ability to focus, regulating emotions, and monitoring tasks to completion. Wouldn't it be nice if you could define a successful student based on these? Usually you do. It's the content that shows you that evidence. But we forget that as these years pass, as kid goes from kindergarten to 12th grade, that somewhere in the equation is reversed. I have seen it recently in elementary, where it is a focus in the early years, especially in your special education classes. How about this model of learning is universally utilized by all teachers? So with that example at the elementary, instead of just being in SPED, why not, in every classroom? But not one teacher can stray from that. Not one. If every kid in every class with every teacher gets this, what you have is familiarity. What you have is association. What you then have are learners who are able to learn anything due to that. You've created such grounds for success right out of the gate. Just focusing on the same thing in every class. If a kid goes to a bunch of different teachers, they have to relearn how that teacher teaches. It's absolutely different from the other one. Another thing I would do is I would have universal supports and choice-driven pedagogical approaches to teaching and learning in all subjects. So what I mean is, at the beginning of a semester, a teacher can focus on several different ways to deliver instruction, several different ways to assess instruction, and then once kids understand, the students understand in their classes how to learn, they can select from one of those choices based on the content that's given to them and utilize that as their means of delivering a comprehension, mastery of comprehension. Right? I would throw out pacing guides and focus more on this standards-based or skills-based objective. What educators are quick to forget is that the tests today are about critical thinking. They're about problem solving, and they're about comprehension, ultimately. The country shifted from focusing on content to focusing on skills. And we are still resistant to this in our pedagogy. We ignore this continuously by teaching content. So the country had said, we're going from your standards-based education, whatever that was in your state. I remember California had the STAR assessments. Now we have Smarter Balance Assessment. Two very different tests. It's a common misconception that the original tests were focused on content. These tests now are focused on skills. They're focused on comprehension, your ability to understand the question, look in multiple areas, interact with the actual assessment itself because it's electronically disseminated. I mean, this is something that schools have not adjusted to, but the country has, right? So we said, here's how we're going to assess you and what we're going to assess you on: Common Core state assessments, right? Our Common Core standards. I've gone down this road on this podcast before. It's a common misconception that if you cover all of your content, that you're giving your students the best possible chances to obtain successes on a state assessment. I'm confidently saying this is not true to you. If it was, then our passing percentages would reflect that. And since they don't, evident of subgroups, different types of learners such as ELLs and special education students who always perform at the lowest. Why do we stick to what isn't working here? How about this one? What if your special education teacher observed your general education teachers? And they said what it is that they see based on how you deliver instruction. And this is what I would do to vary your approaches. Interesting one. Something to consider, right? If the special education went in and observed all the gen ed teachers, I wonder how that would go. How about a portfolio-based system where students are discussed regularly in a holistic manner by a team similar to that of an IEP, but for every student? This would be a living portfolio that follows that kid and allows an easier transition from year to year and teacher to teacher. It sounds like it'd be maybe time-consuming, but if it was organized as such, I don't think it would be that bad. I've seen models in play right now where teachers are advisors from the second that kid gets into the school, and that student can stay with that teacher until they leave, such as Science Leadership Academy that's taking place in Philadelphia, such as Ace Charter in Ventura County, California. So I had two leaders say to me that they wanted to focus on intervention type strategies, and we'll talk about things like Lexile reading or leveled reading, traffic light stations as peer-to-peer or routine assessments. How about routines for each day? Universal means of behavior and studying, and fostering choice via differentiated strategies for students to select. Sure, we'll definitely focus on that. But to make a true impact, you can't train just the teachers who teach special education or students who are in team teaching and inclusive settings. You teach all your staff. You implement, as my buddy Mike Vollmert says, a focus on transversal competencies that are at the essence how you learn in each grade and at the start of every school year. This means students know how to study, they know how to organize, they learn skills to handle emotions, learn the skills needed to transition to something new, prioritize, communicate effectively, and find successes in learning anything in front of them. A true impact embraces learning in its purest form, not based on the subject matter and the grade level. For my middle school folks, since students will age out anyway, why not try this? Pilot a group or a small learning community. Surround the students with universal learning opportunities. Repeat this annually and watch how they perform on that eighth grade test. This is Joe Colossi, your traveling principal, signing off saying, why are we considering this side of education that is different from the norm special? Why shouldn't it just be another side of education that is offered to everyone? Because it includes everyone and it benefits every learner. Special education is actually more accurately what education should be, and perhaps that's why it's called special. Thanks for listening, you guys.